The invocation will be done by Mike Flowers and the flag salute by Daniel Maneras.
All rise. The grace of Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us to gather together on tonight, Lord God. Father God, I ask you to continue to have your way in our lives. Wash us, cleanse us, forgive us, Lord God, for all of our sins and evils, Lord God. Continue to have your way, Lord God. Lead us and guide us down that path of righteousness, Lord God, in thy name's sake. We ask you to bless this board, Lord God, that you would use us for your glory, Lord God, that you would, Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, and direction to make the right decision. Bless the district as a whole, the superintendent, the staff, the teachers, Lord God, just everyone in this district, Lord God, and above all, our students, Lord God. Continue to have your way in their lives. Guide and direct them, Lord, down that path of righteousness also. We love you, and we praise you, and we lift you up, so you're so worthy to be praised. In Christ's name we pray, and we love you. Amen.
Amen.
Please put your right hand over your heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Bullock?
Here.
Ms. Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Ms. Juarez?
Present.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Here.
There's nothing to report out from closed session. So that moves us to our presentations. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Polis. We really want to commend the board and all of your actions that you've taken over the last few years to make sure that all of our students' needs are met. You've taken an active role in our special education and our mental health courses and support. And one of the things we wanted to share with you this evening is so the public knows what the board responsibilities are specific to foster youth, and we'll continue to do these in-services as the year goes on, especially with the new programs that we have in place. But tonight we're to talk about foster youth, specifically the board responsibilities. So with that being said, responsibility for this is Ms. Knutson.
Technology never,
darn it,
never fails. Or it always, always fails. I've been up so many times. I've gone up there and here you get the mic and you go, test, test, works great. You get up there and you're ready to go and nothing.
Nothing. It's happens, right?
Yeah.
Murphy's Law.
Fortunately, we have some tech help.
While they're booting that up, why don't we take this opportunity? Is there anything that the board would like to
do the hearing session?
Yeah, the board would like to report. Is there anything here that any board member would like to report out at this time? Eileen. Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to say that the administrative retreat, I didn't talk about it at the last meeting, and what an excellent job that was for the superintendent and the staff. We had the pleasure of hearing from Damon Lopez with No Excuses Leadership, and I really liked how it followed and tied into what Kermit did last year when he was talking about how important every student is and how your actions will change the life of a student. And No Excuses Leadership was that next step. It was about accountability and everyone taking accountability for student success, beginning with the board on down with staff. And then he also walked us through his program of all students going to colleges, No Excuses University, and I believe Monta Vista, right, is our school that is
correct.
That is doing the No Excuses correct. University in our district. So that was a really well done administrative retreat, and I was really pleased to be sitting with special ed, so that was very informative. I also want to say that I attended the Historical Society Summerfest here in West Covina. It was so good to see. We have his picture right out front, Benjamin Franklin Maxwell, the first mayor, as well as responsible for starting our school district. So they were honoring him this year, and he had family that was there. Obviously, he's passed on. But they gave the history. So it was really good how it tied into our school district, this year's honoree. I also went to the Hearst Ranch Barbecue and got to sit with two sponsors of our Garden Gourmet program, the Kaiser Permanente, as well as the East San Gabriel Valley Clinic. Both of those fund our Garden Gourmet program, and so it was really good to hear their feedback about how well the program is going. Our welcome back was so good this year. Ms. Pulo spoke. Dr. Hinman promised he would be short, and he went on for about 15 minutes. But that's okay.
That's short.
But it was really good to welcome back the teachers, welcome back the staff, to see the enthusiasm from everyone with the new school year, and to have had almost 11 weeks off was really good this year. I know that won't happen next year, but that was really nice. To really felt like a good break for everyone. So that went really well. And then our back-to-school nights. Holy cow, they began on the very first day of school with Vine. But the teachers did great. They were prepared. They were ready to go. It was a long day for them, first day of school, and then to do a back-to-school. So I really appreciate the effort of the teachers and the classified staff in terms of getting our schools ready. And the next day was West Cove and all the little ones. So it was good to see West Cove's back-to-school night as well as our Orangewood. Oh, Orangewood. To see Orangewood and the excitement over our dual immersion TK, to see the little ones and the parents excited and our kindergartners in dual immersion. And now our first grade class, too. So that went really well. It was pretty well attended. That was the challenge, something to think about next year, because each of them said it was lower attendance than normal, but then again, it was the first week of school. So hats off to everybody who got those together. So I want to say what a great start, what a very, very good start that we've had. So thank you, Dr. Hinman, and thank you, staff, and thank you over here, too, as well, our cabinet, because it really does take a whole team effort. It's not any one person. And, yes, my daughter has started, and she's already feeling very overwhelmed, but glad to be back at West Covina High, so that's really good.
Is there anyone else that has anything that they'd like to report out? So we'll go back to the presentation on foster youth. Why they're working out the kinks? Is there the informal?
Yes. Thank you, report. President Polis. Let me start with Mr. Seaman.
Good evening. I just wanted to report out. We've had a lot of enrollment. We're working with the numbers, trying to get to that point. But one thing that was really exciting for us is we anticipated about 95 or so TK, transitional kindergarten students, and we have over 170 transitional kindergarten students. So we've had to open 3 new classes, and we're looking for teachers, and we interviewed today, and so we'll get that there. But that's a good sign for the future.
Yes.
Well, there's TK classes at Vine, Cameron, Merlinda, 2 at West Cove, Monta Vista, Orangewood. So Albert Merced, who doesn't have a classroom, and California, who starts at third grade. So.
Dr. Coghlan.
Well, so last spring we talked about enrollment projections, and just due to the nature of bubbles, the district was going down in enrollment, but I'm happy to report it's not going down nearly as much as we thought it was going to go down, attributed to the TK. And when I looked at the enrollment, there's actually some grades where there's more students, so say in 10th grade, than there were 9th graders last year, which is showing us that students are coming into the district. So it's very encouraging, and I wanted to report that to the board.
Thank you for that news.
Ms. Knutson.
So you have a document in front of you that looks like this. And this was per the request of Trustee Miranda Jimenez. And she had asked that we show you where the class of 2016, what their plans were after graduation. So this is just a chart that summarizes that. Our counselors at the high schools collect that data, and then it was put together by Margaret Green.
I have just a couple things. You know, we mentioned enrollment, and I've been talking to everybody who would listen for the last 18 months that one of the things we have to do as a district is we have to stop the tide of students leaving our district. You know, we're having declining enrollment, and the board has gone above and beyond in developing program, helping staff, and we're starting to do that. The numbers truly show that with the surge in TK, with the rise in numbers in our middle school and high school, we haven't turned the tide, but at least we've slowed the bleeding to some degree. I think it's important that everybody be aware that the state legislature is not moving forward a bill on the district of choice. And if district choice bill is held up in the assembly, then it will sunset in July of 2017. So that means two things for our district. One, we will no longer be able to have open borders and bring in children on district of choice. We currently have 600 of our students on district of choice. But that being said, we also have 300 students who have chosen to leave us. This board strongly believes in parent and student choice, and that's what this does. There's a fallacy up in Sacramento that if they close district of choice down, and it will, as it sits today, force all DOC students back to their home districts. There's a fallacy that the legislation believes that those district of choice students will actually return to their home districts. They won't. They will either move, they will go to a charter, or they will go to a private, but they left their home district for a reason. So it's something that, you know, the board has given me direction to fight wholeheartedly, which we are. There is a rally on Saturday. We'll be sending out a out call to all of our DOC students and parents to attend the rally in Walnut Valley on Saturday. The location and time will be in the out call, and the board will be included as well. I will keep you informed on that. Realistically, I think that everything that's happening now is political. I'll just be honest. It's a Republican that's driving the DOC. Therefore, the Democrats are having difficulty getting on board. If it fails, it's not the end of the world. It just means we need to reboot as fast as we can in January, restructure, come back through, and get it reappointed starting in July of 2017, which most of the professionals, including Bob Latner, who's on your docket tonight, believes that we can do. Very, very, very confident. We had a majority vote out of the Senate. We had a majority vote out of the Assembly. We had a 7-0 vote out of the Ed Assembly meeting. And how it's being held up, there's no reason except for political purposes. So, you know, that's just life. But we'll keep you informed, and we'll keep our parents informed. It's really unfair to our 600 students who are have to wonder now for the next 6 months, is West Covina going to be my home or not? So another discussion for another time, but I wanted to make sure you're aware of that. Along the same lines of enrollment, I really want to do a kudo to Dr. Duncan. I don't see her tonight, and she's always here, so I think this is a first. And Cheryl Lessiker, they had the incentive to go over to San Jose Charter and get a flyer put in their registration packets. And it was a beautiful flyer talking about the great things we're doing in our school district because, again, it makes does not make a whole lot of sense that when those children leave the eighth grade at San Jose, they don't come right to our schools. So we need to continue to do a good job promoting that. We will be back at their back-to-school night, and West Covina High will be there, as will Edgewood, promoting as well. And the last thing I wanted to say, just to second what everyone said, what a fantastic opening. We're not going to take any credit because it really lies with staff, the teachers, the principals, the classified, everybody that did all the work to get those kids in the classroom on day one. And I won't drag it out, but I will tell you it is absolutely impossible for me not to get a handful of phone calls on opening day. There has to be something that upsets someone to the point where they want to call the district. Not one phone call did I get. Not a single. Matter of fact, I haven't gotten one since opening day. So that just goes to show how incredible our staff is in the work we're doing. So that being said, I will turn it over. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have one more item, and surprisingly, I'm going to let Ms. Kelly present this item.
This one I can do.
Yeah.
A while back, Trustee Flowers had, during his Master's of Governance, had been given a document about what every board member should know pertaining to the district, some information about staff, what their job is, about the role of the board, and some stats at the time. And I believe Trustee Miranda Jimenez took a liking to it and asked that we share it with the whole board. So we did reproduce the document for you and put the current information for you. And if you have any questions, go ahead and let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Mr. Flowers for sharing that document before. I carry it in my Franklin. And thank you, Ms. Kelly and Dr. Hinman, for putting it together. It's a great document to have at your fingertips when you're out networking and out. So thank you, Mr. Flowers, for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Really appreciate it. Your hard work really shows.
Okay.
Except you have my work number.
I was going to say that that's not my work number, but I wasn't going to.
Yeah. That document is a draft, and any changes that we need to make, we can redo.
That's fine. I'm glad to have it. If it's ready, we are going to move on to the presentation. Now we're really looking forward to it.
Sexual abuse. but other times I'm sick, or a family member can't get me there.
Or sometimes I have court, so I miss a lot.
The future, I'm a little worried.
Of course I want to go to college, but only half of us graduate from high school. I have a better chance of being homeless or getting arrested.
Schools aren't bad. They just weren't designed for kids like me.
Like me?
Like me.
But it seems like things are changing. We are not invisible. But we are not in control either.
You are. And with your help, we can do this. We need you to make us more visible.
We need you to help make us successful.
We need you.
Ms. Knudsen.
Resources and services that we'll be providing our foster youth students throughout the 2016-17 school year. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce members of the student services team. Anna Gutierrez, who is our newest addition, and she is our foster youth liaison, and also Lily Flores, clinical social worker.
We are working on opening up a family resource center, and that resource center is located on Willow Avenue. It is adjacent to the San Jose Charter School, and we are there now, and that is where my office is, and we are available throughout the day. But some of the resources for the foster youth will be accessible to them on an after-school basis. A range of services for them available are going to be access to computer lab, tutoring, counseling, workshops, and college and career planning. A lot of good stuff coming up for them. We hope to have that grand opening in early October, so we'll keep you posted on that. And finally, just to share other good news and warm news, is that we've been working for several days, physically working hard, on putting together backpacks filled with school supplies for over 70 backpacks for our foster youth. And all those backpacks have been delivered to the school sites as of last Friday, so mission accomplished.
Good evening. And to help our students feel supported and connected, we are going to continue with our welcomings for all our currently enrolled foster youth and newly enrolled foster youth to the district within 30 days of starting school. This year, we will also continue holding our foster youth committees, which is comprised of district staff, foster parents, DCFS, and we will be monitoring and evaluating our programs and efforts as we serve our foster youth students. Additionally, we will be providing staff development focused on increasing the awareness of the challenges foster youth face. As you saw in the video, they are many. So we want our staff to be well-equipped and well-informed about the impact of trauma on the students' learning and social-emotional growth as well.
So on behalf of the team, I'd like to thank you again for this opportunity for us to present this evening, and we look forward to a more detailed presentation later on this school year.
Questions? Questions, comments?
Is it set up and ready? Can we tour it if we would like to call over and get a tour, just like we visit school sites?
Well, we are open and functioning. However, okay. Some of those services we do want to provide, such as the tutoring and some of the parent workshops and things like that, we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
We're still setting things up.
So maybe after October, after the grand opening?
Okay.
Okay. Good. And then the students, the foster youth students, many of them are throughout our district, and that is quite a distance from most of our schools. So how will they be able to get transported over there to use the computers, to get the homework assistance, et cetera?
Fair question. At this point, we don't know which of these students will be taking advantage of that.
Okay.
But once we do advertise that, all things can be considered, from providing bus vouchers, and some of the kids are older, and they have cars, or they may have other means of transportation, bicycles, skateboards, things of that nature. Putting and looking at public transportation, possibly doing buses. I mean, all things will be considered at that time.
An Uber.
Anyone else?
Okay, thank you.
I just want to thank you so much for all you do. And when I entered the foster care arena, I had no idea the differences that my and what unique needs my children that I now have living with me were going to have. I just thought, you know, I'm very well versed in special ed and knowing everything, and then you come in and it's a whole new world. And I think, you know, it does take a village, and I appreciate everything you've done for the children that, you know, I want to foster to adopt, but I've had 8 different children in my home in the last 4 years. So, but this school has been very welcoming, and this was much needed, because when I first started the process, there wasn't as much awareness, and to have the homework help, because as you could see, 4 months they lose when they transition. I met a young man who was in 70 different homes. When he was 18, he was put in foster care when he was 2, and by the time he was 18, 70 homes. Could you imagine how little education he got? Because if it was that many homes, it was that many schools usually. And so I want to thank you. And sometimes the children may not need that physical backpack. I mean, you know, their foster parents might have provided it. But what it does is it gives them a chance to meet another adult, the person who presents that backpack, because they need connections. And it was just a very welcoming way to say, we're so glad you're here, you're special to us, and for them to meet that other adult, because they need to feel welcome and they need to know there's somebody they can go to. And so she goes, oh, why? My little one was so excited because she goes, there's someone new going to be working with me now. But she had a chance to see that face in a very positive way. And I appreciate the Kiwanis for putting that backpacks together, because that's a lot of work, and for, you know, to get all of the resources and then for you all to put them together. And I'm looking forward to the homework club, because a lot of times our children that come from hard places shut down when things get too difficult. And it's nice to know that you'll have that homework support, because as soon as they, with 3 of mine, as soon as they couldn't do it, it just went. It just closed. You know they're capable. But to know there's a place you can go and find assistance and that understands what's happening in the school, that's another benefit. So thank you so much for all you do. I'm going to give you another hand. Okay, any further? Okay, that will. We will move to items from the floor. Ms. Kelly.
Solely on the language. That's the cleanest and most purest way to take a look at this and have it adjudicated. I kind of, you know, mentioned when that was when that was brought to us. I know everybody has auto insurance. Okay. Well, you don't use your auto insurance every day, but you still have it. Why? Well, it's required by law, but it's peace of mind. That's really why you have it. Same thing with health insurance. That's why you invest in these things. It's a peace of mind. And for us, fighting arbitration is a peace of mind. So I ask that you guys support our efforts for our cause. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time and has not filled out a blue card? Seeing no one, that moves us to the business session. The organizational part, the agenda and consent items. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent? Okay. We do have some changes in front of us, A4 and C3. So is there a motion to move it with the changes of A4 and C3.
Okay. A second.
It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Michael Flowers. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That takes us to the informational session. Is there any further discussion at this time? Hearing none, there are several.
Yes, I mean,
there's several dates to remember, so you can all take a look at that at the end. And we will, I think this is a record, we will be concluding our meeting at 7:40.
Outstanding. Oh.